Sunday the 7th of March, Kof Alef Adar, Rabbi Meir Rappaport, should the posek pay?
Birshus, kol ha-kodesh hazeh. This issue comes up regularly, but I saw it in regard to an interesting shayla. We know there was the whole story with the sheitels. The story of the sheitels, the gdoyla adoyin, the roshim, Rabbi Yashiv Paskin, that the sheitels that come from this place in India, I can't remember what it's called, have a din of tikroivis avodah zarah, which means that they are also b'hanan, they've got to be burnt. The sheitels that come from this place. So what happened was, when this whole parsha, when this whole story broke out, so all the women and all the husbands got into a panic, and they went to the local rabbis, and they asked them, what should we do with the sheitels? Should we burn it? They said, yeah, burn it. So a lot of people went and burnt the sheitels. And it turns out that after a committee of rabbonim was set up to investigate, they discovered that the majority of the sheitels actually don't come from this place. There are certain sheitels which are problematic, but many of the sheitels were fine. And it was simply an issue of verifying where the hair comes from, where it comes from, and making the correct information. These are facts that exist. The information could be made. So now what happened was that people claimed, okay, I went to my local Rav, and he told me to get rid of the sheitel, which I did. Now it turns out the sheitel was kosher, yosher. So therefore, maybe the Rav should reimburse me for my loss. This was the shayla. So the emes is, it's a Gemara, and it's going to come up soon in Daf Yoimi. So if we look at our papers over here, we've got a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin says, Dinei Momenos, if you have a financial dispute and you've got a judgment, a ruling, Machzirim, it can be reversed, Bein Yischus, Bein Lechoyto. That means if the Rav or the Dayan, whoever it was, paskened one way, and it turns out that you'd been Mechayev, the Zakai, or Mezakai, the Chayev, then Machzirim, you're allowed to reverse the ruling. And if Reuven paid Shimon, Shimon now has to give the money back to Reuven because it was a mistaken psak halacha. As they state in Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Makes sense. If the ruling was wrong, then you have to reverse the ruling. Shimon has to pay Reuven back because Reuven should never have paid him. It was a mistake. However, asks the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Flamet base, a stirak between the Mishnah in Sanhedrin and the Mishnah in Bechoros. And here we have in front of us the Mishnah in Bechoros. Don es hadin, if the dayin, the rov, was dan, pasuk, and adjudicated the judgment, ziko es achayev, he was mezakeh the chayev, or chiev es hazakeh, he was mechayev the zakai, or if he was metame es hatoil, or he was metare es hatomei, says the Mishnah, masho oso osui, the psakdin is a psakdin, v'yishalem mi beisoi, so the psakdin is a psakdin, the psakdin remains, and the Dayan or the Rav has to pay out from his own pocket. He's got to pay out from his own pocket. So here we see that if Reuven paid Shimon because the Rav passed, and it turns out it was a mistake, Shimon doesn't have to reimburse Reuven. Shimon doesn't have to pay Reuven back. He can keep the money. I, Reuven, lost that money. The Rav will have to pay out from his own pocket. So the Gemara asks Astira, between these two Mishnahs, one Mishnah we see that we reverse the ruling, and the other Mishnah state that we keep the ruling as it is, the Yishanami base, so the Rav has to pay out from his own pocket. As I fact, the Gemara has to deal between Mishnah in Sanhedrin and the Mishnah in Bechoros. The Gemara has a few different answers, but the answer that is brought down in Halacha is the answer of Rav Sheshes. Says Rav Sheshes, a poshet echilik, kan shetor b'dvar Mishnah, kan shetor b'shikol hadas. In the Mishnah of Sanhedrin, where it says that we reverse the ruling, machzirin, that tor b'dvar Mishnah. If the person who passed in the shayla made a mistake in a clear-cut Mishnah, something that's written black on white, then machzirin. However, if it was taught b'shikul hadas, he had to weigh up opinions, and we'll see in a minute what that means, and he weighed up, and he chose the wrong opinion. So it's not a mistake in a dvar mishnah, it's not a blatant mistake where he went against something that's written black on white. reimburse for Reuven's loss. So says the Gemara Achidik. Omale Ravina le Ravashi. Ravina asks Ravashi, what happens if it wasn't Tor Bidvar Mishnah? It wasn't a mistake in the Mishnah, but Tor Berebi Chia Bereboshi made a mistake in a Tosefta. So Rebbe and Reboshi, Rebbe was the Nasi. So besides the fact that Rebbe was far greater than Rebbe Chia and Reboshi, the yeshiva sat by Rebbe because he was the Nasi, and therefore anything he said was given to criticism. So you always came out with Mamash the Emes Lamito Shel Torah. So maybe only that is considered Tor Bidvar Mishnah. But if it's Tor B'Tosefta, that's not called black on white. Omalei, no, that's also called Tor Bidvar Mishnah. That's also considered something which is written black on white. And if the Rav is Toya B'Tosefta, B'Rebchiv Reb Oishio, we also say Machzirim, we reverse the ruling. Omalei, Afil B'Dedav Shmuel, what happens if you made a mistake in the words Omal Amoira, in what's written down Mishem in Amoira, Omalei, in, yes, that's also called Tor Bidvar Mishnah. Afilu b'didu v'didoch, Ravina asked Ravashi, what happens if he made a mistake in something that is written in our name? So he says to him, Amalei otu anan kotli kone ba'agman, are we reed cutters in a marsh? What are we? Well, we nothing. We're also choshuv. We're also considered Tor Bidvar Mishnah, says Ravina to Ravashi, and therefore all this is considered Tor Bidvar Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Heichi domi shikul hadas. What's considered Tor b'shikul hadas, making a mistake in weighing up of opinions, where we say that the psak din remains, but Yishalem Ibeisoi, the one who passed and has to fork out from his own pocket. Says the Gemara, you know what it means, Tor b'shikul hadas. Omar Apopa Kagoin, for example, Trey Tanoi, you have two Tanoi, or Trey Amiroi, two Amiroi, the Pligi Adodi, they're arguing with each other. The loyitmar hilchaser loykemar the loykemar halacha is not paskened, written black and white like any of them. So it's not clear who do we pasken like this amoira or like that amoira. The ikri, and it so happened for ovat kechad minayu, the rov who pasken like one of the amoroyim. However, it turns out the suvid ishmaitz, it turns out that conventional wisdom, most boyskim, most halachic authorities hold osne ki idach, they hold like the other amoira. Hanu Shikuladas, that's called a mistake in weighing up of opinions. He had to weigh up two opinions, and he weighed up wrongly. He weighed up against conventional wisdom, against what most poiskim hold. That's called Tor B'Shikuladas. So, Tor B'Dvar Mishnah, if he makes a mistake on something that's written black on white, therefore, Machzirin, we reverse the ruling. However, if he's Tor B'Shikuladas, if he makes a Tor B'Dvar Mishnah, we reverse the ruling. Tor B'Shikuladas, we say the ruling remains, and he's got to pay out from his own pocket to Reuven, who lost out. Says the Gemara, Maisa, the poror shall base Menachem. It was a story with a cow of base Menachem. Shenitla or Einshalo. Its womb had been removed. So, the fellow came to the Taufen, and he said to him, is it treif or is it not treif? A cow with no womb, is it treif or not treif? The Taufen says to him, it's treif, and you've got to go throw it to your dogs. The Echilu Reb Tafen, the Klavim Reb Tafen, told him, go give it to your dogs. Ubo Mais Lifnei Chachomim, came in front of the Chachomim, Beyavne, Viteruah, they said, no, it's not treif. You should never have told him to throw to the dogs. How do we know? Sho'oma Toidu Saroife, Ein Poro V'Chaziro, Yoitzis Me'Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim. A cow and a dovo achir, do not leave Alexandria of Mitzrayim, Elein Ken Choytchim Ho'Ein Shelo, until its womb had been removed. The cows and the chazirim in Alexandria were of high quality, and they wanted to keep the monopoly on these cows. So therefore, before they exported these cows, they removed the womb. And Toidus Haroifa said that these behemoths live, they're not considered treifa. Omar of Taufen, when Rabkavon heard that he'd made a mistake telling him this cow was treif, he said, Holcho Hamilcha Taufen, now Taufen, me, I'm going to have to sell my donkey in order to reimburse this fellow for the loss I've caused him by telling him to throw his cow to the dogs. Omar Rebbe Akiva said to him, Potorato, you don't have to pay. You know why? For two reasons. First of all, Choda de Toy Bidval Mishnato, you're making a mistake in a Mefurisha Mishnah, and the Mefurisha Mishnah is a Mishnah in Chulin, and the Mishnah in Chulin says that a cow without a womb is not considered a treifa. V'oid, besides the fact, inami b'shikul hadas to yisa. Even were it so that he would have made a mistake in shikul hadas, in weighing up of opinions, but you are considered a mumche l'rabim, v'chol ha-mumche l'rabim potem l'shalim, as they state in Gemara. What we see from this story is that the halacha of Tor bidvar Mishnah, where we say that we reverse the ruling and the Rav does not have to pay out of his own pocket, is not just in a case where it's possible to be machzir. For example, Reuven, the Rav told Reuven to pay Shimon. It turns out he made a mistake in a Mefurish Mishnah or Tosefta or Amoira, whatever it may be, and therefore Shimon now has to pay Reuven back, we reverse the ruling, and the Rav doesn't have to pay. That's a classic case of Tor bidvar Mishnah. But even in a case where he actually told him it's treif, and he went and threw it to the dogs, so he's actually lost out. What did we say? Tor bidvar Mishnah, it's a Pefurish Mishnah in Chulin, that a cow without a womb is not treif. And therefore, machzirin, the rule is that we should reverse the ruling. But you can't really reverse this ruling, can you? It's too late. Yet, we say, no. The Rav doesn't have to pay, because he's Torah B'dvar Mishnah. If it would be Torah B'shikol Hadas, of weighing up of opinions, then we say, the ruling stands, and the Rav has to pay out. That in, even in this case, yeah. So the Gemara brings this example, and the Gemara says, because if he wouldn't have given it to the dogs, we would say Machzirin. Therefore, even if, says the Gemara, even if he did give it to the dogs, Afilohochi, it's called Tor bidvar Mishnah, and the Gemara explains it, Tor bidvar Mishnah, and therefore he doesn't have to pay. Now, where does the Gemara say it? The Gemara explains. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, when he is Tor b'shikul hadas, we can see it on the paper, the Gemara uses a description, Tor b'shikul hadas, kom dina, says the Gemara. The psak din is a psak din, kom dina. The din stands. That means the ruling is a ruling. However, it's a mistaken ruling. So because the ruling exists, therefore, we say that the psak din stands, Shimon can keep his money, and the Rav has to reimburse Reuven. However, if it's Tor bidvar Mishnah, when the mistake is against something that's black on white, bidvar Mishnah, lav dina, says the Gemara. It's not a din, it's not a psak din, it's nothing. The words that came out from the poisik's mouth, lav dina, or not a din, v'loi klum ovad. And therefore, he actually didn't paskin anything. There was no psak din. So what? What does this mean? So, we know that there's a musa called groma benizokin potu. If a person damages somebody inadvertently, groma, not directly, he's potu. It's unfortunate, but he doesn't have to pay. Chai b'din shemayim. Of a pot of the Odom. Sorry? Mud oil, but it's the thing Groma bin Izokin pot. Bidin Shemaim Chayf. So, Mimelikum to Zazay. When we say, is Tor B'shikul Hadas, because the mistake wasn't against a Mepurisha Mishnah, the Psak Din exists, it's there, and it stands, and the ruling is valid. It's a mistake. Because the Psak Din exists, so when this person chose to throw his animal to the dogs based on that psak din, all he's doing, he's merely carrying out the psak din that exists already. So all he's doing is it's a practical application of the psak din, it's that's there. Where is the damage done? The damage is done through the psak din that exists. That's a direct damage. That means the psak din was goyre mehezek. That's not a grammar, that's a direct hezek. However, when he's Tor bidvar Mishnah, where we say lav dinahu, so the psak din doesn't really exist, it's not there. But because the Rav misled this person, and based on that he threw the animal to the dog, that's already an indirect damage. Why did he throw it to the dogs? Not because a psak din exists, not because he's carrying out a psak din, because there is no psak din. Lav dinahu, a psak din which goes against the Mishnah, is nishkam psak din. Lav dinahu, says the Gemara. So why did he throw to the dogs? Because the Rav misled him. The Rav meant well, but he misled him. So therefore, that's an indirect damage. That's a groma. That's why the Rav doesn't have to pay. When the Rav is Tor bidvar Mishnah, and therefore the din is nishkam, Tashkandin, Salavdin, who it's not a Psakdin. And therefore, when you ask him, why did you throw it to the dogs? Because the Rav misled me. That's an indirect damage caused by the Psakdin. However, Tor B'Shikul Hadas, where the Psakdin stands, so the damage is already done through the Psakdin. Throwing it to the dogs is merely a practical application of that Psakdin. So the damage is done directly through the Psakdin. So if I ask, where is the damage done? The damage is done with Tor B'Shikul Hadas when he paskent. Whereas when it's taught with Bar Mishnah, the damage isn't done through the Psakdin because there is no Psak. The damage is only done later on when he actually threw it to the dogs. By the time he throws it to the dog, that's already considered an indirect damage, clapping the one who paskened it. So, Tor B'Dvar Mishnah is a Groma, and Groma B'Nizokim Potu. Masha'enkein Tor B'Shikul Hadas is a direct damage through that Psakdin, which exists. However, comes along Toisus, and the Rosh, and the Ramot paskens like them. And Toisus says, Rosh, that according to Reb Meir, who's Don Dina de Garmi, what's the example of Don Dina de Garmi? The example given where Reb Meir's Mechayev is in a case of Mare Dina ol Shulchani Venim Tzora. Somebody gave me a coin, and I want to know whether to keep it or not, but I'm not sure if it's a good coin at all. So I go to the expert and I say to him, tell me, my friend gave me this coin, I want to pocket it, I want to keep it. Is it valuable, is it worth it? And he says, yes. I keep it, and it turns out it was worthless. So, is the Shulchan Chayev to reimburse me for misleading me, for the damage he's caused me, for the loss he's caused me? Says Remei is Chayev. Ah, it's an indirect damage. He just gave me advice, that's all. He didn't go and take it and damage it. He gave me advice. Based on that advice, I pocketed this coin. Says Remei is Don Dini Degami, even an indirect damage is Mechayev, and therefore, holds Reb Meir's Chayiv. Says Toisus, and the Rosh, and there are more passings like that, that according to Reb Meir, who's Don Dini de Gaumi, it would come out that even in a case of Tor B'Dvar Mishnah, where we say Lav Dinahu, it's not a Psak Din, and therefore the damage that was caused was indirect, but Reb Meir would be Mechayiv for such a Hezek. And therefore, this territory of the Gemara to be Mechalik between Tor B'Shikul Hadas, and Tor B'Dvar Mishnah wouldn't stand according to Reb Meir. According to Reb Meir, Mimonav Shechid B'Michayev. According to Reb Meir, you'd have to find a different chiluk between these two Mishnahs. However, the Rif, the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch also passing like them, and the Shach and the Gedolei Acharonim also passing like the Shulchan Aruch, they hold that even according to Reb Meir, who's Don Dini D'Gami, in this case he would be Potter. And there's different reasonings given as to what the chilik is. What is the difference between the case of Tor B'Dvar Mishnah, where somebody paskens against the Mishnah and causes somebody damage, or whether he's an expert who gave a ruling regarding a coin? What is the difference? So the Shach says that in the case of Shulchani, the damage is much more direct because I was given this coin by my friend and I want to pocket it. And I say to him, can I keep this coin? Is it good? And he says, yes. Based on that, straight away I keep it. So the damage is far more direct and far more immediate than in the case of Tor B'Dvar Mishnah, where he tells him you should throw away the cow, give it to the dog. And based on that, he goes home and he gives it to the dog. That's a much more indirect damage. So even Reb Meir was Don Dina D'Gami, it would only be in the case of Shulchani, and not in the case of the Poro. So says the Shach Echiluk. So if we go back to the Shaida we have over here, it would come out that any case, which is not necessarily a Mishnah, even a case where it's a fact, not a Mishnah, in the case of Toidus Haroifer, Horo the Chaziro, where they said Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim, they didn't base themselves on the Mishnah in Chulin, which says that a Poro without a womb is not a Treifer. They base themselves on a Maisa, the cows of Alexandria, which is a fact, rather than a Mishnah. So who are dealing in any situation where it's not Tor B'Dvar Mishnah, but we're talking about facts that exist, where you can easily find out, not so easily, but at least you can find out, it's possible to find out, that would also be considered a Tor B'Dvar Mishnah. And Tor B'Dvar Mishnah, according to the Rif and the Rambam, even according to Reb Meir, who's Don Dini de Garmi, would be Potur. And the Shach, the Achronim Paskin like the Shulchan Aruch, rather than like Tosfos, who Paskins, rather than like the remote Paskins like Tosfos. Therefore, even if you don't do the Gami, in this situation, they would be Potter. Because the Pesach Din went against a fact, a Mishnah, a Gemara, an Amoira, or whether it's a fact, because it's told about Mishnah, therefore Lav Dini, the Pesach Din is not a Din, and therefore the damage that was caused is considered indirect, it's a Groma, Benizokim Potu. So, you might think it's a bit unfair, Groma, Benizokim Potu, I should be Potu. Or the Chayev, Bedine Shomayim. This was a Yid, a gross Yid, he was a the Rishon Letzion of Yerushalayim. He was a Rebbe of the Chidon. Lived about 250 years ago. And he was from the Grace of Mekubalim, lived in Yerushalayim. And he wrote a Pirush in the Haggadah. And he writes, in the Haggadah, we say, we've got it here on the paper, Vanitzak el Hashem elokei avoseinu. Vayishma Hashem eskoleinu. Vayares onyeinu. Ves amoleinu. Ves lachatzeinu. So, the Baal Haggadah explains, what are these three things? Onyeinu, amoleinu, lachatzeinu. We say this on Seder night. Vayares onyeinu, says the Baal Haggadah, zu prishus derech eretz. This was one of the part of the master plan of the Mitzrayim in order to control the population increase of the Jews. And they tried in all angles, they tried to stop the Eden giving birth. So one of the things they did was they didn't allow them to go to Mikveh. Zu prishus derech eretz, therefore they kept them apart. This was one angle. If that didn't work, then ve'es amoleinu. What does amoleinu mean? Eilu habonim. K'mo she'nemar kol haben ha'yiloid ha'yo'ilu tashlichu v'chol habas techayun. So, they threw the babies into the river. Ve'es lachatzeinu zoi hadachak. This is the pressure. K'mo she'nemar v'gam ru'izes halachatz ha'shem Yitzrayim lo'y chatzim oysom. They overburdened them, they overworked them until they were broken. So he says, all these three things refer to the population control that the Mitzrayim wanted. First of all, they mikveh was osa. That was the first form of control. The second one, he says, was to throw the children to the river. And the third way was simply to break them physically in order that they shouldn't be able to have children. Mamash, they worked them, they gave the men the women's work, they gave the men the women the men's work, and so on. Says this Rav Gazi, who was the Rebbe of the Chidon, he says, this was all a groma, this was all indirect. Mikveh, indirect damage. The children, he says, they didn't throw them into the river. They put them on the river banks. And the waves came, or the tide came and took them away. They didn't do anything. We didn't kill children. They're humane. This is an indirect damage. Esadachak, the lachat, the pressure from the work was also an indirect damage. Zokta groma binizokin potur, obechayev bidinei shamayim. Says that's just in the posuk, which Baruch Hu said to Avram Avinu, v'avodum v'inu oisom. V'avodum, they will work them so hard, with lachatz and with dachak. V'inu oisom, this will cause an inui, es onyeinu zupish zecheres, the avoido, the hard work will cause the inu that they wouldn't be able to have children. Alba me'eshonah for 400 years, and therefore, gamis ha'goyash li'avoidu, don onoichi, says the Rabbi Shalom, I will judge them, because b'dini adam they're potter, they're only chai b'dini shamayim, therefore, it'll have to be don onoichi, I will, imitz Hashem, I will judge them, says the Rabbi Shalom, v'kach hava v'acha kein, yeitzu b'rechush godom, after that they will go out, b'rechush godom. However, says Gornish Geholfen, the groma that they thought they were doing, says Einish Geholfen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has damned them, and v'acha kein yotzu b'rechush godom, as Eibush Hashem bischar noshim tzadkonios nigalu aviseinu mimitzrayim nigalu yisrael mimitzrayim. What was the schar noshim tzadkonios shehoyu bois hadoyru? What did the women do? The women were moisa nefesh. Says the Gemara in Soito. It's medrash also b'shor shehoyu chos dish of mine, when they went to draw water, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be mazmin for them a bucket of water, 50% of it, half of it was full of fish, the other half of it was full of water. They would cook the fish, they would boil the water, and they would take it to be Mesirus Nefesh to their husbands who were working in the fields. And even though the women in the cells were broken, because they were doing the physical labor, they were doing the work of the men. But they were most nefesh to go to the husbands in the fields, and they would feed them, and they would wash them, and they would have children in the fields, the mokim sanua. This was b'mesirus nefesh mamash, they could have been killed for this, besides the fact they were broken. But, says the Gemara, the bischar zeh, they were zoicha to bizas Mitzrayim. Why were they zoicha to the bizah bischar zeh? It says, v'avodim v'inu oisem arba meyishono, and v'achaken yoytze b'chush gadol, for the 400 years, they will work, they will be zoicha to the rechush gadol, to the wealth of Mitzrayim. So why did bischar, the fact that they had the children, that they were zoicha to bizas Mitzrayim? So I saw that, Be'emes, they should have been 400 years in Mitzrayim. How come they were only 210 years? So, we know that V'yimorah is chayayim. They worked so hard, therefore, they did 400 years worth of work in that amount of time. However, the other pshat given is that because of the Maisa, they had so many children, and there were so many people to work, that they managed in that time to do 400 years of work. So it was only Bishar, the Noshim Tzatkoliyois, that Klal Yisrael were nigal in Mitzrayim early before the 400 years. And that's why they were zoicha to the Rechush Gadol, only bischar those women who were most nefesh to have the Shisha of the Keres Echad. The Gemara finishes off and says that when it was time to give birth, they went to the fields. We say Shirashim Tachas Atapuach Iraticho, they gave birth under the apple trees, and they left the children there. How did they survive? So the Medrash says, Bochur Echad Noah, a beautiful bocha came, and he looked after them. Pasuk says, "Vayinikei v'dvash misela, v'yishemin mechal mishtzur." They suckled honey from oil from the stones. This is how they survived. And when the Mitzrim realized there were children there, they came. They wanted to kill them. So Akrish Bochu drowned them inside the earth. So they bought plows in order to plow them out. Al gabi chorushu chorushim, says the Medrash. They went deeper underground. The Mitzrim went away, and then mevatz besoys, they would come out like the grass in the fields. They would come out. Pasuk says, "Revovo ketzemach asod nesatif," and then they used to grow up, and they came back in droves into town. All these children, and the parents say, "Who looked after you?" And they said, "No, bachur echod noe." There was a boy who came down to look after us, the Rabbeinu Shlomo. And when they crossed the Yamsuf, and they said, "Ze kelivan veyu." They said, "Oh, we recognize him. This is the Rabbeinu Shloim who looked after us when we were in the fields over there." And Bischar Moshim Tzatkonius Nigalu Yisroel Mitzrayim Benisen Nigalu Benisen Asidin Negoil Mitzashem Shibizoichet Degur Ashleima Bekoriv.